We want to, on behalf of my family, we just would really like to thank you for your prayers and your concerns for Teresa's dad. He is came home this past week. He's in good spirits. We saw him yesterday. He's still on a feeding tube, going to be on a feeding tube for a time here. But they cannot do really anything for about a month until he heals from his surgery, having two-thirds of his stomach and his pancreas removed as well. So he does have pancreatic cancer, but we know that God's in control and God is going to walk with us. And as we've said in our family, it's a win-win situation. Amen? Because he loves the Lord and he's been very faithful to the Lord through his life. Ice fishing. This man woke up about 2 in the morning and decided he was going to go ice fishing. And he was trying to find his way through the dark. He wasn't really sure where this, he was looking for it. He thought, well, I found my lake. I'm here. All right, so he pulls out all of his gear and obviously what you would have to do to get a hole like that in the ice. And so he's digging away and all of a sudden he hears this voice.
There are no fish under the ice there.
Looks around, he's like, who said that? Yeah, he goes back to digging.
There are no fish there under the ice.
He's going, man, God is guiding me. This is exciting. And as soon as he said that, the voice said,
this is the ice rink manager. There are no fish down there.
What would you say is the most requested sermon topic? I think you know where I'm going with this. Obviously, God's will. What does God want me to do? How does God guide us? These are some of the topics that we want to know deep down in our heart. And lots of people today talk about guidance, but the way the world says we need to be guided is an entirely different thing. They'll say, look to the stars, look to astrology, look to tarot cards, look to fortune tellers, you know. And my question for people that read astrology, and there's over 70 million people that read their astrology for a horoscope every day. Why would you look to the stars for the answer when you can go to the God that created the stars? It makes no sense to me. Stars don't have any kind of answer for our lives. It's interesting, the Bible talks about this very topic in Deuteronomy 18. When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or is a medium or spiritist, or consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. Why does God not like these things? It is because when people consult the stars and witchcraft and all these different things, they are saying, I don't need God in my life. It'd be like somebody going to for guidance and going to somebody that clearly is not qualified to give guidance. The Lord says, this is not what I want you to do. This is what he says about guidance in Psalm 23, verse 3. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Very familiar verses about guidance. The Bible promises divine guidance if we will seek the Lord with those things. So this month, we're going to talk about this question, how does God guide us? We're going to talk about, does God speak to us today? In other ways besides the Bible? If so, how do we know if it's God or Satan or our own conscience? Those are some valid, very valid questions to look at and wrestle with. So this month we're going to be looking at those topics as we talk about how God guides us. And this week we'll do part one and next week we'll do part two about how God speaks to us today. So let's pray as we begin. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you. And we are amazed, Lord, that you would even think about guiding us, that you're that concerned and you care that much about us. Father, we ask today as we dig into your word, as we talk about this topic for this next month, we just ask that your Holy Spirit will teach us. And Lord, we long to hear from you as a good shepherd. The sheep long to hear your voice, Lord, in our lives and how you speak to us. Please teach us this day. Open our minds and our thoughts. Stretch us this month. Help us be open to new ideas and new thoughts as we engage them, Father. But most of all, Lord, we long to connect with you more and more because we love you. We thank you this day for this time together. We invite your Spirit to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. And by the way, if you haven't got your outline out already, just go ahead and pull your outline out. And whenever you see a word that is underlined in yellow, you want to fill that in. When we talk about God's guidance, how God guides us, I think there's four principles we can look at today. And the first is to understand that God is working all around you every day, guiding you and leading you, if you will be open to that. He is always at work. I like the story of Moses, and we learn in Moses where with him that God was in the preparation business with him. In Acts chapter 7, we learn that, you know, not only was he found by the Pharaoh's daughter, we also learn that he was raised in the education of the Egyptians. He learned how to read. He learned how to write. 99% of the world at that time could not do those things. God was in the preparation business, guiding him and leading him in his life. Because who would write the first five books of the Bible? Moses himself. So we understand that God is always at work around us. He is always guiding, always leading us. And the life of Moses is a great example of that. What is God preparing you for? You have gifts. You have talents. You're not an accident. God has prepared you and is in the process of preparing you for the future. He's given you talents to be used for His glory. What is God preparing you for? When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he died and was buried with his ancestors. We read that and go, what's the big deal? God had a purpose for David in his own generation. Just like God has a purpose for each one in this room. He has put you where you are when you were born to influence this generation in this time for His glory. He has placed you here in Manchester, Tennessee, 2014, with the gifts and the talents at that job and this community for such a time as this. You are no accident. God has created you for a purpose, and that is to know Him, to love Him, to glorify Him in your life. And He's given you tasks to do. And as believers, we seek that. Lord, what do you want me to do? Guide me, Lord. That's where the guidance comes in. He has placed you exactly where you are today. And God is working in our lives even when the times are dark. You know, when you lose the job, when the divorce papers are handed to you, when the child is sick, when there's tragedy, God is still at work. He is not, does not sleep or slumber. Because that's the question we ask. When tragedy comes, when something bad happens, where is God? I need you, Lord. Please guide me through this time. Do you know how we can know that God is going to guide you in the bad times? Do you want to know that? Want to know, church? You want to know this morning? Say amen. It's in the story in the book of Exodus, how God guided Israel. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to guide them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. See, God guided his people out of Egypt, and he said, I'm going to be a pillar of cloud. I'm going to guide you where you need to be. Even if you want to do it at night, I'm there with you. But here's the good news, church. Even when there's trouble, the angel of God who had been traveling in front of Israel's army withdrew and went behind them. Why did they do that? Pharaoh was pursuing them. They were at the Red Sea. They had no other place to go. And God says, the pillar of cloud moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. And throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. Isn't that amazing how that works? How when difficult times come, it is like you see things very clearly because you know God has got your back. And everybody else can be in darkness, but you, as a follower of Jesus, he says, I promise you I will make things clear to you as you trust me. As you trust me during this difficult time. That's a beautiful, beautiful imagery. Chris Tomlin's got a beautiful song out. You know, I know the Lord is going to be with me. He's behind me. He's in front of me. The God of angels' armies will always be there for me. It's a beautiful song. So look at your neighbor and say, God's got your back and so do I. They didn't hear you. You need to say that again. And mean it this time. 1, 2, 3.
God's got your back and so do I.
Amen. That's the beautiful imagery of the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that God wants you to get. He's in front of us, guiding us. He's got our back when trouble comes. God cares about our lives. So, in the good and the bad, God is always working. He's always teaching us. If we will just be open. Because what happens when the trials come and the troubles start? We start questioning, does God really love me? Does he care about me? Is he going to be with me? And the answer is yes. But what we need to be asking ourselves is, what is God trying to teach me in this? There's a lesson to be learned in every trial, in every struggle. But the promise is always there that he will guide us. Secondly, he's always with us. He's always guiding us. But secondly, he will guide those who are humble and seek him. Listen to these beautiful words from Psalm 25. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Who then is the person that fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way chosen for him. Do you get the idea that God wants to guide us? He wants to do it. Amen? He wants to lead us if we will allow him to do that. But I've got to have a humble spirit. I've got to be teachable. I've got to have a childlike spirit. I've got to have a trusting spirit. And to fear him means to honor him, to respect him, to trust him. There's got to be some humility for those who long to be guided by the Lord. A teachable spirit, a humble spirit, no pride, not seeking your own agenda, not seeking what you want, but saying, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I trust you. Guide me. God will answer that prayer. The problem we have, and I think it's interesting that we all struggle with this, the problem that we have is not that we don't seek God for guidance. It's just that we seek him only in the major decisions. You know, we're getting married or they're facing a job change or a major decision about our family that we need to make. Why can't we seek him daily for guidance? Show me how to serve you today in my workplace. You are God's representative wherever you go tomorrow. You're it. You're the missionary. And God has called you to be there. So you say, God, what can I do for you today? I want to be your hands and feet today. I want to be your voice. How can I be a better spouse or parent today, Lord? Guide me. It's not just in the major decisions. It's in every day we can seek the Lord's guidance. And in business, do you involve God in your business? It's His business. He's put you steward over it. Ask Him for guidance daily. So how often do I seek God's guidance when I'm not facing trouble or a difficult decision? I want you to think about that for just a minute. How often do I seek God's guidance when I'm not facing trouble or a difficult decision? How we answer shows how much we are depending on Him, how much we need Him in our lives. So how does God guide us? He's always working in our lives. He guides those who are humble and those who seek Him. Thirdly, God invites, He guides, if you want to call it that, guides us to be involved in His work. When God is calling Moses to deliver His people from Egypt, the Lord said to Moses, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Notice how God says, I'm concerned about them. I want to do it, but I need somebody to work through. See, you don't realize the power that you have as a follower of Jesus. You are God's hand. You are God's represent. Think about that for a moment. It should make your workplace look a lot differently right now. If you saw it as a mission field, as a place where you can honor God and bring glory to His name. But God is looking for people just to work through. Are you available? Are you available to Him? God invited Moses. How does He invite us? Well, it's very simple. We've got daily divine appointments awaiting. Every day. The people that God bring into your life daily, it's not a coincidence, by the way. There's no word, the coincidence in the Bible. It's called providence. And the people that God brings into your life daily are no accidents. And if we looked every day and treated every day like that, how differently our lives would be. At work, somebody comes up to you and says, I'm really having a lot of problems with my marriage right now. That is God's invitation to you to that day to say to your friend at work, can I pray with you about that? Can I minister to you? And can I listen to... That's God's invitation for that day. At school, same situation. Somebody comes up to you and starts bringing up issues about cults or something spiritual, you know, that and they've got questions about it. That is God's invitation to you to that day to say, I want to help you. At the grocery store, I mean, I've had some unusual conversations at Walmart, folks. God will use you at Walmart. He's there, and believe it or not, He brings people into your life in that aisle for a particular reason, at a particular point in time, because they need a good word. They need some encouragement. They need some love. And it's funny places God calls us. So the principle that has changed my life, and I got this from Henry Blackaby in his book, Experiencing God, fantastic book, workbook, if you ever want to get something that'll rock your socks and rock your world. Henry Blackaby, Experiencing God. Look for where God is working. Look for where He's already working. And look for that invitation every day. I'll never forget, this is, I know you're looking at this going, what on earth is this? That's me right there, and that's Petro. That's one of the evangelists We were training in Tanzania, Teresa and I, and we were when we lived over there, we worked in this area for a couple months, and we couldn't get anything going. We were meeting up on top of the mountain at a Christian's house, and he wanted to start a church over there, so we were going there and meeting in his little compound. We had about 10 people, and we're like, what's going on? One day, I was walking down to the very bottom, and this lady who was selling some peanuts on the side of the street said to me, hey, if you will set up underneath that tree, I think you'd probably get more people coming to your Bible study. I'm like, hello, that's God saying, here's your invitation, Chris. And sure enough, that very same day, we did that. We had 100 people around us. And after that, a church began. That's the church after it began. But I mean, that is how God works. The invitations he gives out every single day to us. Would you like to be involved in what I'm doing in this person's life? He's looking for people that are willing. Our focus should be on what God wants us to do today. We worry so much about, what should I do, Lord, next year? What about marrying this person? And what about this job? And where should we move next year? God is saying, stay into today. Why? Because God is already in our future. And I know I hammer on this point a lot, but I think it's a very valid point. Because if you understand this truth, you stop worrying about the future. You stop worrying about what's going to happen. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day, meaning God is not on any kind of time schedule. He is above time. God is there at creation. He's there at the judgment day and in every place between. God is there. He is above time, which our mind cannot grasp. But he says to Moses, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So what does this phrase, I am, mean? It means very simply that God is eternal, that God is unchanging, and that God is involved in our lives every day. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble. He's here right now. He's in the future. So are you worried about what's going to happen in, you know, in the next 5, 10, 15, 40 years? The good news is God's already there. And guess what God's doing? Preparing you. Guiding you. Leading you. If you will be submissive and ask Him, He will guide. The point is, God is in the details of our lives. Read this. Look at this quote with me from Jennifer Kennedy Dean. She says, you and I, His children who are in covenant relationship with Him, are never at the mercy of any person or any circumstance. God is never taken by surprise in any person's decisions or actions. He has already factored them into His purpose and plan for us. Rest in the fact that God is managing every detail in order to work out His purpose for you. Nothing is left to chance. So God is at work, always. He's guiding those who are humble, who are seeking Him. He invites us, He guides us to be involved in His work every day. And we can rest assured that He is already in our future. As we close today, this is the promise from Psalm 32. I will instruct you. Let's say it out loud, church. Ready? I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. And that's the key. It's a loving eye that deeply cares about your life, who wants to guide, who wants to lead you. Let's pray as we close. Father, we are just in awe that you care about us. that you would think about even guiding us. I pray for a spirit of humility and dependence upon you. Help us have those qualities, Lord, that make guiding us easy. And I pray, Father, for all of us that you will guide this church, guide the eldership of this congregation, guide them in every decision they make. We want your plan, as Morris always says, Father. We want what you want. We want to be a light to this community, and we ask that you guide us in how to do that. Guide our families, Father, in every decision we make. I pray that you will lead us to where you want us to be. We long to fulfill your purpose and plan for our lives. We thank you that there is a plan. We thank you that you're in control. We thank you that you are the great I am and that you're already in our future. We love you. We trust you. We honor you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if we can assist you in any way, through prayer, through baptism, won't you come as we stand and we sing.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy power.